these words? Will you take the words of your word, the Bible? Will you give them a nurturing place to grow and develop in our hearts? May we hear from you, may we encounter you in something which is said, something which has been sung this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. So as you've heard, Ali was planning to be up here this morning delivering this sermon, but unfortunately, as you've heard, seasonal infections got the better of her. So in the spirit of putting into practice the theme of our verse of the year around rest and recharge, I've had the privilege of taking her 90% written sermon, tidying up the final loose strands in the final edit and delivering it to you today, hoping that at some point in the PowerPoint, it will not be too apparent where somebody less technologically proficient has taken over. So this is kind of like a synthesis of mine and Ali's responses to this passage, mainly hers, but with a little bit of mine thrown in. So I guess probably the best way of you hearing this is to imagine that actually Ali and I are both standing here together, and most of what I say is Ali speaking, with me kind of jumping in and throwing a little bit in here and there. So this week is the last in our mini-series looking at the key W words from our verse of the year, which is Matthew 11, verse 29. So these W words are picked out, in fact, from the Message paraphrase, which reads like this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So our W word today is watch. Now, you might remember that in the first two parts of this series, Ali had a little problem with her Google search trying to find the right kind of images. So in the first week, her image search engines came up with yoke, which wasn't enormously what was helpful. And in the second week, what was decided was that in the main, work almost exclusively referred to things that you do on a laptop, which of course we know is really only a very narrow interpretation of what work means. So I wonder if you can anticipate the helpful suggestions which came up when Ali put in the word watch to Google. You got it. Which is helpful if you're looking for a timepiece, but not exactly the concept which she had in mind. Rather than an object, what she was looking for was a verb. And eventually, buried somewhere further down the pages on her computer, she came across an image that was a better fit. And although this, she felt, was an improvement, she had to alter the search term that she was using to read watching before she actually began to see what she really had in mind. Now, to watch, which is what we're thinking about this morning, is defined as to look at or to observe attentively over a period of time. So I guess that's where the timepiece thing comes in a little bit, if you want to find somewhere to fit that in. But before we dive into this concept of watching, can I just give a little bit of context? Over the last few weeks, in conversation with others and mulling things over myself, I and others have expressed a perplexity with these verses, how to move beyond that bit of weary and burdened and burnt out. It's as though we want these verses to say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and for it to stop there. For some of us, right now, we prefer that it just ends with rest. And indeed, for some of us, the call of God may indeed be at this time to shed responsibilities, to downsize our obligations in order to protect our own well-being, at least for a season. But for those with the capacity to hear it right now, Jesus is casting in these verses a more audacious vision. That it is possible to be energetically invested in the kingdom sustainably. Not on the path to burnout or already there, but able to maintain joyful productivity day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Really? Isn't that just unrealistic managerial propaganda? Well, yes, really. And no, it isn't, claims Jesus, because he sets himself up in the passages, in the pages of our Bible, as a living, worked example of how that can be true. So in these verses, Jesus invites us to watch how he does it. Let's just pop back over to the New Living Translation again to remind us how this verse is written there. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now remember, Jesus was speaking at this point to his disciples, people who were there physically beside him, able to watch him in real time, to see what he did, how he did it, and what he said. They could see him with his face and his facial expressions, and they could see his body language. And we can't do that, frustratingly. But nevertheless, the instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples is now handed down to us. And it is our responsibility to watch and to observe him, to learn from him. This invitation points us to his life as the perfect model for grace-filled, sustainable living. Now, we can't hope to explore everything this morning. We simply don't have enough time, but there are a few things that we've picked out, the things that we can consider about the example that Jesus is, the example that Jesus shows us. Ooh, too far. So the first is Jesus' example of dependence on his Father. Jesus consistently showed a reliance on God the Father. He would frequently withdraw to pray and seek the Father's guidance. It's Luke 5:16 is an example of that. It says that Jesus would oftentimes go away to quiet and solitary places on his own to pray. Sometimes, like Mark 1:35, he would go early in the morning before other people were awake. There's an example shown in Luke 6, verses 12 and 13, where he spent all night in prayer prior to him choosing those 12 disciples. And even in his greatest trials, such as in Gethsemane, which is written about in Matthew 26:39, he surrendered his will in dependence upon the Father. So what does this mean for us? Well, I guess it means that grace-filled living, which is what we're aiming for, means acknowledging our need for God's help. Watching Jesus, we learn that true strength comes from dependence on, and not on self-reliance. And then we see that Jesus lived a life of balance. For those that aren't familiar with these things, that's a metronome, so it keeps perfect time as you're playing music. The balance Jesus struck was between work and rest. He lived with a healthy rhythm of activity and rest. So although he worked tirelessly to teach and to heal and to serve others, at times becoming acutely exhausted in carrying that out, but he also knew when to step away from that and to recharge. There's an example given in Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23. He and his disciples had just, they tried to get away. The crowds had followed them. They ended up feeding the 5,000 from their five loaves and their two fishes. Huge amounts of input emotionally and spiritually. And then after that, it says, Jesus sent the crowds away, and then he sent his disciples away, and he himself went up on the mountainside to pray. And then in Mark 6:31, he was aware that his disciples had become so exhausted that they just needed to get away and rest, and he sent them away to rest and recharge. So what we can draw from that is that a grace-filled life doesn't need to equate to relentless productivity or burnout. Instead, it's about doing the work God calls us to, whilst also prioritising rest for our souls. Watching Jesus teaches us that resting isn't laziness or second rate to activity. It is, in fact, obedience. And of course, this reaches back to the concepts enshrined in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, this precedent of observing a day of rest every 7 days. And Jesus' focus on balance meant that he then retained the capacity to relate to others with compassion. He welcomed sinners and tax collectors and the marginalized. His miracles often flowed from deep responses of compassion to the people that he encountered who were in need. For us, this means living in such a way that we treat others with the same kindness and love that Jesus demonstrated, even when it may be inconvenient or costly. Watching him reminds us to prioritize people over performance or personal comfort. Jesus' focus on balance meant that he retained the capacity to serve with humility and with a servant heart. He washed the disciples' feet as an example of humility and love, and he willingly laid down his life for us on the cross. And finally, we see that Jesus lived an example. His life was an example of trust. The first time I saw this image, I thought, that looks like the complete absence of trust. I thought it was somebody that had cut the climbing ropes. I thought, that's very untrustworthy. And then I realized what was going on there was that this rope was actually tied onto a secure piece of metal that had been driven deep into the heart of this rock, so that by grabbing onto that piece, that knot of rope, you were holding onto something that was embedded in something really secure and trustworthy. So I quite like that image in the end. Jesus was never hurried or stressed, even when faced with challenges. He trusted in God's timing and his plan completely. Do you remember that story where they went out in the boat and Jesus, perhaps because he was so exhausted, fell asleep in the boat? And the storms came and the disciples woke him up in a flat spin. And he just, you know, he was able to go, okay, winds calm down. He was trusting God in that situation. And he remained steadfast during his trials and his crucifixion, entrusting himself to the Father's will. So for us too, we can learn by watching Jesus closely that we are also to trust God. Trust him in every circumstance, even when life feels chaotic or uncertain. Watching Jesus reminds us to replace anxiety with trust. And perhaps above all, we are reminded that Jesus lived a life which was focused on his unique mission in the world, which was to share God's love and to bring about the ways of the kingdom. Jesus' ultimate purpose was to fulfill God's redemptive plan for humility in every decision he made, aligned with that mission to bring grace and salvation to the world. And I guess decisions about whether he did things or didn't do things would also have related to that decision about whether or not it worked towards fulfilling that mission, which was his mission. And so in watching Jesus, we understand that walking and working with him will mean aligning our lives with his mission, and specifically our aligned part in that mission. Expanding the kingdom wider by our extending the invitation to those who don't yet know him, and expanding the kingdom deeper by investing in those amongst us and around us who already share that faith, and employing our unique God-given gifts and talents and abilities to accomplish those roles. Now, of course, learning to live this way is not just about employing a neat series of bullet points and job done. It's a journey, and it's lifelong. To keep ourselves on track and not lose sight of our way, we're going to need to keep our focus on Jesus, guarding our minds against distraction. And to do that, we're going to have to build in regular rhythms into our life, involving studying his word, immersing ourselves, perhaps particularly in the Gospels, to observe how Jesus lived and taught and loved, but elsewhere in the Bible, to see what God, you know, to understand God's character and how he wants us to live. Following Jesus' example, asking that question, what would Jesus do in this situation, and intentionally modeling his actions in our lives, and journeying with him daily through prayer and reflection, inviting Jesus to guide our steps and to reshape our hearts. Our goal in all of this, as at the end of the passage puts it, is to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, there you will find rest for your souls. I wonder if anyone here is feeling soul weary, not just physically or mentally tired, but a deep down inner weariness, a discontent, a feeling of being disconnected from God without a satisfying purpose or direction to life. The good news is that for those who have identified in themselves a soul weariness because they've never met with Jesus before, he is the answer. There are people here who would testify that he is the foundation which makes everything else fit into place, the missing piece in life's jigsaw. And for those who are soul weary because life has weighed you down, Jesus is also the answer, because he offers to us a very specific kind of rest, which goes beyond sleeping or the pursuit of me time, important though those things are, because these are temporary. And whilst we might and we must make sensible provision to relieve our tiredness will inevitably return. Let me introduce you, if you are not already familiar, with the cycle of grace. This begins at the top with acceptance, unconditional love and acceptance from God, because Jesus doesn't ask us to prove ourselves. He invites us to come to him as we are, and he bestows unconditional love and acceptance upon us. And then as we walk with Jesus, as we work alongside him, as we engage in the spiritual practices that we have discussed, Bible, prayer, reflection, watching, walking, he will nourish us with a grace-filled assurance of our value and status as his beloved. And whilst we rest on this assurance that we are loved, not because of what we do, but because of who he is, we discover that as God's dearly loved children, we have a role to play in his mission, which gives our lives purpose and meaning. And then our fruitfulness as we work alongside him becomes an expression flowing out from our joyful acceptance of his beloved status that he bestows upon us. He will help us to surrender the burdens that we were never meant to carry, the perfectionism, the people-pleasing, the anxiety, and in their place, he gives us peace and grace. In him, we discover that we are good enough because he made us so. In him, we also discover that in all we face, we find hope and joy and clarity because he is with us in the midst of everything. It's when we turn that on its head and try and follow it in the wrong direction that things fall apart. So when we start with fruitfulness, with the jobs that we do and the things that we achieve for God, And when we rely on those to give us our purpose and significance in life, when we rely on the purpose and significance we find in life through the things that we do to nourish our souls, and only then do we feel only then do we feel accepted. That is the recipe for burnout and for stress. So we have to start with acceptance, God's loving acceptance, and walking with him, and through that, allowing that to channel in to faithfulness and to fruitfulness in order to live a sustainable life for him. So, come. Respond to his invitation to come. Respond in prayer, in dwelling in his word, in worship, and be refreshed. Come bringing all your burdens, naming them before him, and hand them over to him in prayer. Come and release any need for performance or perfection. Trust in the love that God has for you and the sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross. It is enough. Enough for you, enough for me, enough for all humanity, and its ongoing, ever-changing expression throughout history. And come and walk in step with him, allowing him to guide and direct you. Trust him for his timing. And there's one final place to come, which is here, to this community of believers. God has seen fit to call us to walk with one another. So therefore, we are not who God intends us to be unless we take our part in this community. This community is a place for encouragement, for love, for support. But that needs us all to be aware of one another, to be noticing one another. So let's be people who not only are watching Jesus and following what he does and his example, but let's be watching one another. Let's watch over one another. Let's watch out for one another. And in so doing, let us be the community that God longs for us to be. So this then is where we shall find deep soul rest. As we watch and learn from Jesus' example how to live with dependence on God, taking time to balance activity with rest, trusting God, maintaining our focus on our unique purpose, just as he did. And as we work in partnership with each other, each a faithful representation of Christ to one another and for one another. As we continue to unpack these and other themes inspired by our verse of the year, let us start as we mean to go on, walking, working, watching from the Master Craftsman, the author and originator of our faith, our soul, and our very being. Amen.